What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week, we are coming at you with a brand new season. Season number five, which is kind of fucking crazy.
It is.
And with that, as sort of our 5-year anniversary celebration sort of thing, we are doing a Midsommar Redux, which was our first ever episode of the podcast, back when we recorded it on the Anchor app on my cell phone, placed in between the two of us. The audio
Man.
is absolute dog shit. I think our content was absolute dog shit. But hey, here we are 5 years later, and we're still going strong. Some people may think our content is still dog shit, but oh well, we're having fun with it. But yeah, I really don't remember why we chose this movie as our first one. I think just because it had like just recently came out and it was creating some waves in the horror community, so we figured why not start off strong? And I think that may have been a bit of a mistake because that's a pretty fucking heavy movie to kind of unpack in your first ever podcast episode.
Yes.
But hopefully on this replay, we can kind of do it a little bit more justice. But yeah, that original episode was just the theatrical release of the movie. And this is going to be the director's cut. This director's cut took it from an NC-17 rating, or took it from an R rating to an NC-17 rating. It added like 30 minutes of extra content. There's a lot more violence and gore and a lot more nudity that we didn't really see in the original. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation,
For sure. For
to say
sure.
the least. But yeah, before we kick this off, let's do our news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
So I am drinking a my cans all fucked up. Oh well.
Uh-oh.
Fly Monkeys Theater of Madness.
Nice. That's the pumpkin one.
Yep. They still had a shit ton at the LCBO, so I was like, hey, I'll grab one.
Nice.
I don't think I had a pumpkin beer in October, honestly.
I didn't either.
Well, what about you?
Well, I mean, I'm celebrating in style with a nice Michelob Ultra.
Classic.
Yep. All right. What have you been watching this week?
Couple things. That's the last thing, probably. La first thing I watched was a movie called Caddo Lake. Didn't really hear about it, know what it was. Saw it on Crave, and Chris Stuckman actually reviewed it. So it was pretty good. Kind of like a, I don't want to ruin it, saying, but it's just, yeah, it's good. It's kind of really slow, but kind of the twists and stuff that happened in it are kind of cool. So
Nice.
yeah. Then I watched Batman Forever. It's been a minute since I've seen it, and it is bad, man. I don't know. It's a fun time, but like it is so bad. Oh
Yeah, it's not
man.
great.
Jim Carrey is awesome in it, and so is
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. But just the acting in it is terrible. The CGI, the dialogue. Oh man. Yeah. Nicole Kidman is terrible in this movie.
Yeah, this one was such a change of pace from Burton's two movies.
It's crazy. Yeah. And yeah, anyway. Then I rewatched Monkey Man because I
Nice.
got the 4K a little while ago and it was on my pile to watch, so threw that on and still just as good as the first time we watched it in theaters. So yeah.
How is the 4K?
Looked great, looked
Yeah.
great. Yeah. And then watched A Nightmare on Elm Street for a podcast we might be joining this weekend. So keep your ears out for that. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. As for me, also watched Nightmare on Elm Street, obviously. And then I watched a movie called So Dear to My Heart, which is falling into place with my Disney
Okay.
watches. I liked it. It was it 1948. It was a live action kind of cross between live action and cartoon animated.
Okay.
And then watched Prep and Landing with the boys last night. It's just like a 23-minute little short Christmas movie that they wanted to put on.
Okay.
It was okay. Good enough. Other than that, I haven't watched much. It's been kind of a slow week for movie watching.
I saw that the Netflix movie that was filmed in not our hometown, but
Very
town
close
right
to it.
next door, released on Netflix, I think yesterday. So,
Was it yes? Yeah,
yeah,
yesterday the
so
13th.
I'll probably watch that this weekend.
Yeah, Sarah already watched it yesterday, but
Oh, did she?
I do want to watch it just because of
Yeah.
where it was filmed, but yeah, it's kind of a ridiculous premise,
Oh, yeah.
but anywho. All right, as for our news, I have a few things here. Lady Gaga has been confirmed to be joining the Wednesday season two cast. We don't know who she's going to play or what her role is going to entail, but it's been confirmed. Finn Wolfhard and Jason Reitman are remaking Idle Hands, which,
So weird because we just did that movie on another podcast, and it's like, what the fuck?
I feel like because Finn Wolfhard's name is attached to it, it probably will get like a decent audience.
Yeah.
Just, but I don't know. It's one of those movies that just does not need to be remade. But we see that often. And yeah. Regina Hall is potentially going to be returning to the Scary Movie franchise. She's kind
Okay.
of made some references to it.
Nice.
And we have confirmation from Lionsgate that they're making an Orphan 3. Don't know. I'm assuming that's going to be an actual sequel, not a prequel.
Yeah.
And lastly, some sad news. We lost an absolute legend in the horror community. This past week, Mr. Tony Todd, who's obviously most famous for his role as Candyman, passed away at the age of 69. And that news kind of shook everybody up. It kind of came out of nowhere. But yeah, that was a sad day. I don't know. Tony Todd's
Yeah,
great, man. Like he's
he
been
was,
like,
man.
he had
So
like,
many, yeah, just his
yeah.
voice is just iconic and yeah.
He had over 200 credits to his name. He's just, I don't know. He was everywhere. Yeah. All right. On a happier note, what do we have for 4Ks?
I actually had some other news. I don't know if you
Oh.
heard, not horror related, but the 007 producer, Barbara Broccoli, weird last name, she confirmed what she wants for the next James Bond.
Okay.
So he has to be in his 30s. She is open to a person of color,
Okay.
and he has to be open to do James Bond movies for the next 10 years.
Jesus.
So you can pretty much write off like Idris Elba because he's over 30. Tom Hardy, another one.
I thought Aaron Taylor Johnson was already confirmed to be doing it.
No, not confirmed, no. He's
Oh.
one that everyone's talking about. So
Okay.
yeah.
Shit, I wonder who it'll be.
Yeah.
I swear to fucking God, if it's Timothy Chalamet, I'm gonna jump off a building.
I don't think so.
He just seems to be that go-to for all these
I
roles.
know, yeah, but yeah, anyway, 4K is close, letterboxed. So 4Ks, we got Last Christmas, The Last Unicorn,
Okay.
The Sugarland Express, don't know what that is, Arabesque, Circus of Horrors. Elvira, Mistress of the
Nice.
Dark.
Sweet. Let's watch that for my Hooptober.
Nice. The Invasion, Born on the 4th of July. Of course, Gladiator. You know, Gladiator 2 just came out.
It out now?
Might be this weekend. I think early screenings were this past week.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Of
Nice.
course, we got American Thanksgiving coming up. SpongeBob SquarePants movie, Seven Samurai on Criterion, and Scarface from 1932.
Oh, the old
Yeah.
one. Cool.
Yeah.
It's a different list.
Is.
Kind of obscure. All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's fucking kick off this movie discussion. All right. Like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Midsommar, the director's cut from 2019. This is a replay of our first ever episode in celebration of our 5 year anniversary of the podcast.
Yep.
Starting off with the synopsis. Let me clear my throat. A couple travels to Northern Europe to visit a rural hometown's fabled Swedish Midsummer Festival. What begins as an idyllic retreat quickly devolves into an increasingly violent and bizarre competition at the hands of a pagan cult. Slightly misleading because it's a couple and like three other people. It's
Yeah.
not just them, but. This movie was directed by Ari Aster, who, of course, did Hereditary and Beau Is Afraid, both of which we've also covered on the podcast in previous episodes.
Yep.
And your sister joined us for the Hereditary one.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones that we had to record twice.
Oh, it's
Super fun.
so dumb. Yeah.
The cast list, we have Florence Pugh, who plays Danny. Jack Rayner plays Christian. Wilhelm Blomgren plays Pele. Will Poulter plays Mark. And William Jackson Harper plays Josh.
Yes, sir.
I don't have any honorable mentions. I don't know if you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Archie Madekwe. He played Simon,
Oh, yeah.
and he was in Saltburn
Oh,
from
that's
last year.
right.
He was in apparently Beau Is Afraid. I don't remember him in that, but he played the Laughing Man. And he was in the TV show C. He was one of the main characters in that.
Okay. I never watched that.
It's good.
That's the Momoa one, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
him. And let's see. Feel like there's a couple of like the Swedish people who look familiar, but yeah. Yeah, I know. That's pretty much it.
All right. It's funny, I read in the trivia that William Jackson Harper was the only American actor in this movie.
Really?
Yeah. Because,
Christian isn't?
no, he's Jack Rayner's British.
Oh,
So is Florence
Irish. Yeah,
Pugh.
he's Irish, yeah.
Or Irish, sorry, yeah. And Will Poulter, he's British. Florence Pugh's British. And everyone else was Swedish, I think. Well, no, Connie and Simon, they were British too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Okay. We ready to dive into this
Yes, sir.
for a second time?
Second time. So if anyone listened to our Dawn of the Dead episode, we talked about how that may be one of the best horror opening scenes to a movie. How about Midsommar?
It's pretty good. It's pretty fucked up.
It is.
With the
It is.
whole exhaust pipe. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was fucking calculated, man. Like,
Yeah.
that is a wild setup.
And I mean, it just kind of set the tone. Not really set the tone, but like the opening scene, like the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie is so wildly different from the rest of the movie. It's dark, it's cold, it's loud as fuck. Like, it's just so different from Danny's world that she enters in when she goes to Sweden.
The soundtrack is like very hard and like punch you in the face
Yeah.
kind of feeling, whereas it throughout the rest of the movie it's very like
Yeah.
soft kind of Celtic music.
Yeah. And yeah, so Danny, she is calling her parents and her sister, trying to get a hold of them. Her sister's not doing well because she has some mental issues. The sister's like typing an email, like, it's so dark. Mom and dad are coming too. And Danny's like typing, like, what the fuck? Don't say that. And then leave me, like, unread. And it's like, why wouldn't she just like call the police,
I was thinking that too. Like, do a wellness check at this point. Like, your sister has mental health issues. This isn't the first time something like this has happened.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a very ominous
It is.
and concerning email to receive from somebody.
And so she's calling Christian like all the time, and you can tell by Christian's tone, like he's like just so done with it, and like she does this a lot, obviously. And she has her own issues, right? But Christian is a fucking dick, man. He's
Oh, fuck.
the worst. He is such a bad boyfriend, a terrible person, like throughout this whole movie.
I don't think I've ever wanted to punch somebody in the face more than him. Like, he's just such a piece of shit. But like at the same time, you could kind of feel his exhaustion in this relationship, and you can kind of understand it. But like, don't just keep leading this girl on. Like, they've been together for 4 years, I think it was. But I mean, and like, obviously, he would feel super guilty if he did leave her because, like, I don't know.
Well,
She...
he can't now, like after her parents are dead and her
No,
sister,
yeah.
he can't obviously leave her, but like
No, but I
even
mean, prior to
whenever,
that.
because they're out, he's out for pizza with like Mark and Josh and Pele, and Mark fucking hates her. And I don't know if hates her, but like, he's yelled at Christian, like, dude, like, you need to just end this relationship. Like, you've been talking about it for a year. And like, he's saying, just do it, man. And then Danny calls again and they don't know what it's about, right? And Mark is like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, is that seriously her? Like, is she joking? And then he, like, he's like a dick to fucking Christian. But like, he as soon as he picks up the phone, fucking Danny's just like bawling, no. And Florence Pugh has probably the best cry and like facial movement for a sad person. Like, it makes me sad. Like, she has that little like pouty like mouth that she does. I don't know, man. It's so good.
Yeah, she has a great like frowning face. Yeah. But yeah, like her wails on this phone call, and then we hear it later on again. the way that she wails, man, whenever she's crying, it's like, holy fuck. Like, it's so heartbreaking. And like, it's such a gut punch every time she goes through these painful experiences because she's so good at acting it out.
And like, what was this? This was like her breakout movie, pretty much, right?
Yeah, she did like Fighting With My Family, but I don't think that really
Yeah, I
gained
think that
her.
came out the same year, maybe, or the year after.
Yeah, I don't think it really gave her any recognition though.
No. But I love the way that the scene going through the house was filmed. It's like this really loud in your face score, and it's like dark. The firefighters' lights are flashing, and you see like the hoses going from both the cars, like all the way up to the room into the parents' bedroom, and like the sister taped the door shut so like it keeps all the gas in, and then fucking tapes the hose to her mouth, and like one eye is like fucked up from the gas. Oh man.
So Florence Pugh, she was in The Commuter in 2018. I don't know how big her role was in that. I've never seen that movie. She was an Outlaw King in 2018. And then, yeah, man, like 2019 was a huge year for her. She did Fighting With My Family, Midsommar, and then Little Women,
Oh, Little Women,
which
right?
was a big movie. So, yeah, she had a good run in that year.
Yeah, I love the way that Ari filmed this movie. Just like very smart and like cool filmmaking styles he did. And there's so much symbolism and not like Easter eggs, but like there is so much to this movie. Like it's crazy.
The foreshadowing that like you don't even realize is happening right in front of your face. Like the fucking beginning of the movie has a tapestry that plays out the whole fucking movie. And you don't even realize it. It's
And like
crazy.
in this opening scene, whenever they're back, whenever she's like bawling her eyes out in the chair, and like Christian's holding her, and like, or no, after that, the next morning, like above her bed, there's a painting of like a bear, and like this princess that's like bowing down to the bear and like feeding it. It's like little stuff like that. So Christian comes in, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go to this party, you know, just for 45 minutes." And like, I don't know how long after it is, like, from everything that happened to her. I'm sure it's like maybe a couple of weeks or something like that. But it's like, dude, you're gonna go to a fucking party? Like, clearly she needs like someone, you know? But she's like, "Oh, I'll go to the party too." And they're at the party, and like, I love the way that it's like the sound is like it's just in her head, and you don't hear anything, just hear like the rumbling of people talking and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very muffled.
And then whenever she overhears about them possibly going to Sweden, and like, I hate the way Christian talks in this movie, and is just the way he acts, like it's always about him. He always turns it around to make himself the victim.
Yeah, he's a classic gaslighter. And I hate that term, but that's exactly what he is.
Because she's like surprised, because they're like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna go to Sweden," and then she like looks at Christian because she's like, "This is the first I heard of this," and like, "Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, you know, but I don't think I'm gonna go," and like, then they get back to his apartment, and I love the way that Ari filmed this scene, because he has like the mirror set up right beside the door when she walks in, and like Christian is sitting down in the chair, and it's in the mirror, and you see their conversation like together, and just his body language is so like, it's like he's angry, and in the scene she ends up apologizing to him, and he's like, "Oh, I guess it's okay," and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
He's like, well, I was gonna ask you to come with me, but you've ruined the surprise. It was gonna be romantic. Like, shut the fuck up. But like, what was I gonna say? Oh, at the party, like during that whole thing, instead of just telling like a bold-faced lie, like, oh, I'm probably not gonna end up going, like, just say we were literally talking about it the night that you found out your parents and sister died. And I just haven't wanted to bring it up to you because of like the fucking traumatic events that just happened in your life. Like, just play it off like that. Don't be just a fucking bold-faced liar, like, oh, I'm probably not gonna go.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next day, I mean, the next day, but maybe it was a few days later, but all the boys are chilling in someone's apartment, and then Christian, Danny is there, and he like tells them like quickly, "Oh, I meant to tell you guys, I invited Danny, but she's not coming." And then Mark's like, "What do you mean?" And Christian's like, "Oh, she accepted, but don't worry, she's not coming." It's like, what the fuck, man?
And Pele's like all for her coming. Because it, like, it's very obvious that he's got a little thing for her, and we see a lot more of it later on in the movie, but
And like it's his job as part of the family to bring foreigners to his community, right?
Yeah, so the more the merrier.
So it's gonna be a 9-day festival. There's gonna be dancing, dressing up. He sh shows her the May Queen. He tells her that he lost his parents as well. And then like the transition from like this apartment to like the airplane was just like fantastic.
Yeah, it
Like
was so cool.
she starts breaking down, crying. She's like, I go to the bathroom. She like opens the door into the bathroom, and then she's in the airplane, and I love it.
There's some, there it is. So, because you mentioned that it's a 9-day festival. So, this, like, everything about this movie turns around the number 9. So, the complete ritual lasts for 9 days. Jumping ahead, obviously, spoilers, but like 9 lives are sacrificed to purify the town. Pele explains to Danny and the rest of the newcomers that the cycle of life conceived by Hargis people marks at 18 years the end of childhood, which is 9 times 2. Youth is 36, so 9 times 4. Maturity at 54, which is 9 times 6. And the age at the end of life is 72, which is 9 times 8. And in addition, the feast itself is celebrated every 90 years, which is obviously 9 times 10, implying that each one of the sacrificed equals 10 years of purity. Even the feast name, Midsommar, has 9 letters. And then also at the beginning of the movie, when Dani leaves a message for her parents, the answering machine number counts up to 9 before it leaves the frame.
That's
So,
crazy.
yeah, the importance of the number 9 derives from the old myth of Odin, which is obviously like the Zeus of Norse mythology. He was hung upside down for 9 days in Yggdrasil, which is the tree of world, in order to bring knowledge to the world, which created the Futhark, which is the ruins language. Pretty fucking crazy. Like,
It
Ari
is.
Aster, man, he did so much research before he made this movie. It's fucking nuts.
Definitely did, so they're on their way to the village. I love the way the car is filmed, like as they're going into like the road. It's almost like they're driving, the camera like goes in front of the vehicle, then turns upside down and does like a circle. It's almost like they're like leaving like their world, like going into another dimension, right? So they make it there, and they're not quite at the village yet. There's people from the village returning from their own trips as well. You meet his brother Ingmar, and you meet Connie and Simon, who Ingmar brought with him from the UK, and they're going to be indulging in some mushrooms.
Like, such a welcoming committee. It's great.
And like this movie looks so fucking good. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, man, this 4K blew me away.
The trip scene. amazing.
Yeah.
Danny doesn't want to take the, again, Christian fucking gaslighting, right? Like, she doesn't want to take the mushrooms because she wants to like get settled in and stuff. And like Christian's like, oh no, it's okay. I'll wait too. And Danny's like, no, like, don't. And then like Mark is like, well, we can't take them at different times. We'll like have different like trips or whatever. And Christian's like, well, you can wait for us then. And it's kind of like awkward. And then Danny's finally like, okay, like we'll do it. It's fine. And I know it's annoying.
I think that'd be so cool though, like so much fun.
It would, yeah.
You show up in fucking Sweden out in this middle of the field and it's like all bright colors and like, I don't know, just trip out on mushrooms. I think it'd be fun.
And they're all sitting on like the hill and they're all like tripped out and they're all sitting there and then like Mark says like, it's not getting dark yet? Or no, what time is it? And then Pele is like, oh, it's midnight. Mark is like, what do you mean? It's the sun's still up. And he's like, it's the midnight sun. And Mark is like starts tripping, he starts laying down. He's like, guys, can you all lay down? This is making me uncomfortable. And then you see Danny, she like Pele says like, you can feel like the trees and the earth like breathing and living. And like Danny like looks at her hand and her fucking there's grass growing out of her hand and like the tree beside her is like moving and breathing. It's so weird.
It's so cool.
So Danny kind of runs off and she falls asleep. And she wakes up and they find out that they found her 6 hours ago. So I don't know how long that they were up for. But they made it to the village. Like you said, it's been 90 years since the last feast. We learn, well, Josh is doing his thesis on not this
Pagan.
v village, but like the kind of religion, I guess, that they do here. And you find out that Christian is stealing basically Josh's thesis. Because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, like. I think Danny knows, but Christian doesn't like. She brings it up in front of Josh, and then Christian's like, well, I told you I didn't know what I wanted to do yet, but
Yeah, because Danny's like, oh, isn't that like the same thing that you're doing? Like, it's innocent, but it's just like you just threw him so under the bus.
So they're being showed around the village. Like you said, there's that. Well, you see the bear that's there, and Simon is like, we're not gonna talk about the bear. And then Ingmar is like, well, it's just a bear. And then Connie sees like the big quilt kind of thing, and she's like, can we see that? And like I love that the camera doesn't like show Connie and Simon's reaction. It's just the camera going by the quilt like very slow and shows all of the things that are gonna happen in the movie. Like you see Maya kind of have love eyes for a guy or whatever, and then fucking puts a thing under his bed, and then she bleeds into his drink and cuts her pubes into food and makes him eat it, and they fall in love, and it's wild. And already she's like flirting with him because like they're like doing this dance, and she like just fucking like kicks him in the side and. She's like kind of already flirted with him. Pele remembers that it's Danny's birthday. Obviously, Christian forgot because he's a shitty ass boyfriend. Do you think
Yeah.
Pele actually cares about them?
About them, no. About Danny, yes. I don't think he gives a shit about the rest of them.
No.
But I think he does have sort of like an affinity to Danny.
How much of the movie do you think is like, do you think it's set up purposely or like not necessarily like rigged for Danny to be to get to where she is?
I did have that thought in my mind during the dancing scene at the end. 'Cause And I never caught this on the first watch, but like the way that they take her away when they make Christian do his thing, and they don't really stop her from going to witness what's happening. The dancing, like she's a newcomer. She doesn't even know what she's doing. And all
No.
these other women that do this year after year, they're falling and toppling over each other, and like
Yeah.
they're acting like they're good actors.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everything just perfectly falls into place for Dany to become the May Queen.
I think she's like already becoming. Well, like at that point, the dancing scene, like I think she's already becoming one of the, a part of this family, because she starts speaking Swedish to the one girl. She's like, "Oh, I don't know what you're saying," and then they start having a conversation. Like, I don't know if it was just like the drugs they were on, or what.
And I think too, because like I think Pele wants to be with her, but there's one scene whenever one of the older women is trying to like convince Christian to mate with Maya. And he's like, well, what about Danny? And she's like, Danny won't know. And she's like, we're not proposing marriage.
Yeah.
You're not fit for that, or you're not able to do
Yeah,
that
like you wouldn't
because,
be chosen for that or something like
yeah, you
that.
wouldn't be chosen because he's not part of the community. So I think for Pele to be with Danny, she needs to be part of this community. And what better
Yeah.
way to be part of the community than by winning the May Queen?
Another thing that I would love, like I wouldn't want to go to Sweden to this place, but if they had like someone did like something like local of like you can go to this village and like walk around and like look at all the different like buildings, like the real life size buildings, and like just walk around. Like it would be cool, like the yellow kind of house at the end of the movie, I think looks really cool. The barn world where they all sleep. Like the amount of work that went into the set design of this, like it's in this field of like maybe like what, like six buildings. But just the detail, like inside of this barn, there's all these drawings of like different things in the movie. And then in, let's see, Siv is her name, the main girl. And her house, like all on the walls, all these like drawings of like the bear on fire and stuff like this. Like there's so much detail to this set.
Yeah, it's like a very minimalist set, but at the same time, it's super detailed. But like Sweden does have a midsummer festival. Obviously, nothing like this, but I think that'd be really cool to be able to go and see.
I really like on our 4K disc how it there's no like menu. It's just it you can choose if you want subtitles or no subtitles.
That's it.
But it's not like the subtitles like what you think it is. It's the subtitles for the people speaking Swedish for them to translate into subtitles for you. Because the original movie, you don't know what the Swedish people are saying throughout the movie, right? So you're kind of like in like Christian and them shoes. They don't know what they're saying. So I think that was cool that they added that, because in this one scene, the one girl, she comes in, she's like, "Oh, we're all gonna go watch Austin Powers. Are you coming?" It's like, what?
Yeah, I really like that they did that where they don't give you the opportunity to know. Like it like you said, like you just feel just as ostracized as the people in the movie. It's a nice added touch.
One thing I didn't look up, but I wonder what it is. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they're in the barn and one of the parents is putting like the baby to sleep, and they put this little tiny hammer under the pillow. I don't know if you noticed that.
I think Odin carried a hammer.
Yeah. It wasn't like a hammer, like a big hammer, but it was like this little like kind of like tiny toy hammer that like looked like a real hammer, but it was small.
I guess it's Thor that has the hammer,
Yeah.
obviously. But did Odin as well? Odin was able to lift Mjolnir before Thor. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Oh no, Odin had a spear. So maybe it's supposed to be like Mjolnir.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they
I
even use a
guess.
big sledgehammer during
Yeah, the
the
fucking
suicide scene
the
too.
sacrifice, which we can get into right now, actually, because it's Sacrifice
Sure.
Day.
Let's do it.
But before they get to the sacrifice, everything in this movie is so precise, and like, I would love to know how many takes it took to do some of these scenes. Because a lot of the people in the village are so like on point and in sync with what they do. Like they have this last meal for the two old people, and like the way they're set up in the letter R, which I don't know exactly what that is, but it's throughout the movie. But like they come up, and then like they're standing up, and then they sit down, and all, everyone else like sits down at the same time. It's really cool.
I have it here.
Yeah.
So the R-looking rune in Midsommar is Raedho. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Which can mean journey or control or growth and evolution.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah. And the one late lady does not look like she's 72 years old.
Not at all. The guy does, but
She
she doesn't.
does. Yeah.
He looks like he's 92.
Yeah. Do you think that the people, so Pele brings the foreigners here, and like, okay, maybe answer my own question, because four of the people who come, the foreigners come, have to die. But do you think that like they deserve, some of them deserve to die, honestly.
Yeah.
But like if they were like just, well, I guess Connie and Simon were, didn't really do anything, right? Like they weren't do anything bad to like talk bad about their culture or like do stupid shit. Like Mark is just there just to fucking party and have a good time. Like after the dinner he goes and takes a nap. He doesn't even go to the fucking sacrifice. And like Josh is like really into this thesis and like breaks rules and really like he goes into the book and is taking pictures and like he's not supposed to do that. And you know, so they kind of deserve it, but like, I wonder if like, if they were embraced the culture like Danny did, if they would live. But I guess they need four people to die, right? So,
Yeah, because is there only four? Yeah, there's Mark, Josh, Christian, Connie, and Simon. So that's five.
no, because Christian, she, Danny has a
Right.
choice at the
True.
end. Yeah.
True. So there is four. And then we have the two old people that are the sacrifices.
No, it's oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then there's two villagers.
Who
Yeah.
volunteer.
Yeah, so that rounds it to nine. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually I guess we can answer that question when we get to the what would we survive, I guess, question.
Yeah.
So yeah, this sacrifice scene. I remember the first time I watched this in theaters, like I just surprised the fuck out of me because like you know, people are saying that this is a horror movie and stuff, and like up to this point there's nothing really horror about it, right? And then this scene comes out and it's like, holy fuck. They get carried to the top of this giant fucking cliff. And there's like these gravestones all around, and like they cut their hands and like rub on the gravestone, the blood. And they're all sitting at the bottom, and like the foreigners are like there. They don't know what's happening. I think Josh does because the night before, Pele's saying like, "Oh, tomorrow is," he says some name in Swedish, and Josh is like, oh, "Go ahead."
I was gonna say a tet stupa. That's what I
Okay.
think it is.
And Josh like kind of sits up. He's like, are you serious? Pele's like, yeah. And Christian's like, what is it? And Pele's like, well, I can't really tell you now. I could better explain it tomorrow. But Josh like knows what it is and he's like kind of excited for it, which is kind of
It's
weird.
gonna look great in my thesis.
Yeah, but they're all there, like looking up at these people, and the girl goes up, and I love the way this was filmed too, because it looked like the girl on the top was staring directly at Danny.
So I read a theory online because this woman somewhat resembles Danny in an older form. So the theory was that this woman was sacrificing herself so that Danny could replace her in the community.
Well, because that's what the Civ says to Connie and Simon after this is done, right? She's like explaining how they view things. Like, they don't want to grow old and like rot away, right? They sacrifice their body so that a new baby is born and that baby takes that person's name.
Which is really kind of like a beautiful sort of way of life.
Yeah,
Like it's just a full circle of life.
it is, and that's what she says. It's kind of fucked up, but it's their way of living. So yeah, this girl falls off or jumps off. Smat, she just flapjack. She just the two people that jump off, way different. She just like flapjacks and like I forget what the non NC-17 one does, like, but this one, like, you see her like land and like just explode, like her face just is gone. It's bad. And like Danny and Christian are like arguing and they're like, oh my God, someone pushed her off, and like, no, she like jumped off, and they're freaking the fuck out, and Connie and Simon are like freaking out, like, go fucking help them. Like, you're just gonna fucking stand there. And Siv is like yelling at Ingmar, like, did you not explain what was going on? And like, I think that they're just like saying, like, oh, you didn't explain it, but like, they weren't supposed to explain what was happening, right? And then the old man jumps off.
Feet first.
Fucking pencil dive. He doesn't even land like in the middle, like one leg hits the side and his leg is fucking toast.
It's so nasty.
Especially in like this version, like the director's cut, like, oh man. He's still alive and he's just like, oh yeah.
He's just like wheezing, and his leg is basically ripped right off at the knee. And then I don't know which person it was. I don't know if we even know what the person's name is, but he comes over with this giant ass fucking sledgehammer, a wooden sledgehammer, and just the camera does not shy away.
No, it does not.
Just bounces this thing off the guy's face.
And it's like the first hit. Okay, he's dead. Nope, next person. Here we go. They
I think they do it 3 times, or is it only
do,
two?
yeah, they do it 3 times. It's like, okay, I think he's dead. So they get back to the barn. I love that, like, Mark is just like sitting there, like, watching some video on his phone, and they come up and Josh goes into the barn, and then Christian comes around. He's like kind of like freaking out a bit, and Mark's like, hey, do you get service out here? And like he has no idea what they just saw. And then like in the barn, he tells Josh that he's doing the same thesis as him, and Josh kind of calls him out, right?
Oh
Like,
yeah. He's like, I'm sick and tired of having to hold your hand through everything, like through life, through school. Like you didn't even know what such and such was until I showed it to you. And like you can't even do your thesis on your own kind of thing. Like you have to steal my idea.
So Danny is she wants to leave now. And Pele kind of talks to her, and he tells her that like my parents burned in a fire when I was young. So you know that his parents sacrificed themselves in that the
Oh
house there,
fuck,
right?
that's true. I never even clued into that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You see Christian's outside. He goes up to talk to Maya, and they're like decorating this like Christmas tree, which comes into this next scene, which is in this director's cut, isn't in the original cut of the movie. But it's at nighttime, they're at this like kind of lake, and they have this like Christmas tree thing that they like throw in the lake, and then they grab this little girl boy, like wrap them up in like Christmas lights, but like rope or string or whatever, and they put like a rock on top of the kid, and they're like, "All right, here we go." And like at this point, like Connie and Danny are like, they're like, "Okay, what the fuck? You just like kill two people today. Why are you gonna kill this fucking little girl?" And they're like freaking out, and everyone around them is like, no. And then like they're like, "Oh, it's just a joke. Like you have enough strength," or I don't know
He
what.
showed his bravery, like you can put him down now.
And like I get why they cut this scene in the movie. Like I'm sure we'll talk about our thoughts on the original. Yeah, not a scene I think was really like needed in the movie. You know,
But it kind of is. It's also more foreshadowing
okay, do tell.
because it's implied that Connie died by drowning. Whenever we see her in the wheelbarrow later on, her skin, like she's all bloated up, like she looks like a drowned victim.
Oh,
So I think that's how they killed her.
right, huh, that makes sense.
And there's one scene. I can't remember who it is that's talking, but it's Danny and someone, Danny and Pele maybe, and you can hear screaming in the background. And I think it's Connie.
Oh yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that because there's someone screaming, a woman, and like I was like, "What the fuck is that?" And like all of the friends are like, they stop and like look, and they're like, "What the fuck?" And damn, okay, yeah, that makes sense. So Christian is saying he tells Danny to leave, and then this is when Maya leaves the love rune under his bed. They're dumping the ashes from the sacrifices by this tree that's where they always dump the ashes, and then dumbass Mark pees on the tree. Like, dude, there is so much forest around and you just pee right in the open by this tree. And like one of the guys like freaks the fuck out and
Like you're pissing on our ancestors.
yeah. Mark's like, "I didn't know it was a tree, it's dead, who cares?" Oh man.
I
And
fucking
that
love
pretty
Will
much
Poulter.
sealed his fate in the movie. Simon and Connie are leaving, and then Connie finds out that Simon left her there to go to the train station. And it's like she doesn't believe it, and it's like, okay, like obviously something happened to Simon because like he wouldn't leave her. And Danny is like asking the girls when she's making the meat tarts, like Simon left like Connie without saying goodbye. You know, it's weird. You find out, well, Josh is learning more about the, was it the Ratty Rower or something like that, the book.
Oh, fuck yeah. I don't remember what it was called.
I love at the beginning of the movie whenever they get to like the podium, and Siv is like reading the book, and she opens it just like fucking just like finger paint. You know, like what the fuck?
It's all Reuben, man.
Yeah, but you find out Josh is learning from one of the keepers or whatever about the book, and they have like 90 different of these books because like they keep writing their like not their Bible kind of thing, and it's Reuben that has been making this book since he was born, and he asks like, "Well, what happens when Reuben dies?" And they're like, "Well, Reuben is a part of deliberate inbreeding we do, so they can write the book." And it's like, and I love that Josh is like, "Can I take a photograph?" He's like, "What? Can I take a picture?" "No, you can't take a picture." I love the scene of the dinner. And clearly, Christian's drink is way redder than everyone else's. And it's so fucking gross. Like, just like knowing what it is, like, oh man. Yeah. Just like takes a sip, and it's like, then like they bring the meat pie, and he takes a bite and then he's like, and then Mark's like, ew, is that a pube?
And Maya's the only redhead in the community, so it's pretty obvious whose it is, because her carpet does match the drapes.
They say that Connie left. Mark gets led away by the girl who was kind of like flirting with them through the whole movie. We don't see where Mark gets killed, but I assume it is at this scene here or at this point. Later that night, Josh sneaks off and takes pictures of the book, and then we see this scene was creepy as hell too, because like you see the mirror where like Ruben stays, I think, and then he sees in the background the door open and like someone's standing there, and he turns it around and he's like Mark, and it's like Mark's face with like his top half. And then just a giant dick hanging out. It's like, what the fuck?
Someone's wearing Mark.
Yeah. But then he like walks up and then someone behind him like hits him in the back of the head with the hammer, and then you see just the fucking mark like over top of him, and it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So he's dead.
I think it's Pele that kills him.
You think so? Shit. Okay. Interesting. So yeah, Danny's going with the girls, and Siv wants to see Christian. This is the May Queen competition. The girls are drinking some sort of drink that's like kind of it ha what does the girl say when she gives Christian the drink? It has like something properties to
Yeah, like,
bring down your defenses and something else. But yeah.
basically, like, makes you more open to what's about to happen.
Yeah, which is kind of fucked up. It kind of sounds like getting fucking roofied or something, right?
Yeah, we're giving you ketamine.
What do you think about the May Queen competition and this whole scene?
I don't know. I mean, it's a bunch of
Don't
women dancing
care
around.
for it.
It's not that I don't care for it. I think it goes on for way too long. And like I said before, like on this watch, you can kind of tell that everything's sort of fixed, like just the way that the girls are falling over each other and running into each other. But I like that Danny's starting to see how much of a piece of shit Christian is. Because like he goes and he sits down beside Pele. This is before the whole thing with Maya happens. He sits down beside him, and like everybody's kind of like watching and like doing their hand things, like going to the music, and like Mark's or Christian's just sitting there and like not looking at her at all. Like he's completely avoiding eye contact with her. And then like even when she wins, like he everybody's celebrating and like congratulating her, and he's just like, I don't know, off doing his own thing. So it's kind of nice to see that Danny is starting to recognize who he really is.
Yeah. Because at this point, Siv, like I mentioned before, has offered Christian to mate with Maya, that Maya chose him even before he got here. And
Yeah, because Pele sent them pictures or something, I think she said.
So they come and give Christian a drink, and I can't tell. I don't think Christian wants to do this.
No.
Like he looks, I almost feel bad for him, because during like the dinner scene after she wins, he looks so sad and confused and scared. Like he's like shaking and like he's obviously fucked up right now, but he also knows that like he's kind of being forced to mate with this girl, right? And like I don't think he wants to hurt Danny, but I think he kind of has no choice, right? Because it all kind of forced him to do, and like he looks behind the guy beside
I
him
love this
and
part.
he's like, what's going on? And the guy just like claps and he's like, why'd you do that?
This is like the only part in the movie where you can really truly see that he feels guilty for
Yeah.
like what he does or how he acts.
I loved during this scene when she's at like the head of the table and she like gets to dictate like what everyone else does. Like she's standing up and then she sits down, everyone sits down. And I love that like the flowers around her and the leaves and like the fucking meat on the table is like breathing and like moving with her. Yeah, so she's going to bless the crops and Christian is going to mate with Maya. And they like bring out this like flower trail and he's like, okay, I guess I have to do this. And he goes into this like building. He gets like put on some special clothes. And at this point, I was like, can he even get it up at this point? Like, he can
He's
barely
so out of
fucking
it.
walk. He's so out of it. And then like this old man is there and he's like, opens this like pot, has like this smoke in it. And he's like, breathe it in for your vitality. And then like he goes up there and like there's all. I remember the first time watching this in the theater, I was like, and then they open the door and there's like all the naked women. I was like, what is happening? And then this whole scene, I was laughing so hard in the movie theater. It was just like, what the fuck?
They're because like Maya's laying on this like bed of like grass and flowers, and she's naked too. But she's like laying kind of modestly, like her legs are close and they're off to the side, and then she's got like a horseshoe of naked women ranging in all ages from like mid-20s to 60s. And I love this camera angle too, because like it's almost like a POV from Maya's angle, and you just see her legs move up. And Christian's standing there, and then you just see her legs open up, and Christian's like framed in between them. Then this old woman comes over and drops his robe off of him.
And so, I would be freaking the fuck out. Like, he goes up there and he gets on top of her. Like, all the girls are there and he, like, kisses her and, they start having sex. And, like, this version is, like, much longer and a lot weirder than the other version. Cause he's, like, going at it. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, Maya like looks up and like raises her hand and one of the girls comes down and she's like looking at Maya like face to face and like Christian is there like what? And then he like kind of stops and like she like pulls his head and like looks at her and he's like having sex and like looking at this girl and then he's like still going like for a pretty long time I think. And then like Maya's like finish, finish, and like another old lady comes up behind him and is like pushing his butt. Like
Helping him out.
meanwhile, Danny gets back and probably like I don't know. This movie has a lot of like iconic kind of scenes, but I think like this one kind of like sticks out, right? So she gets back and she hears stuff happening. And she's like, what's that building? And like the one girl's like, yeah, you don't want to go in there. Like, I wouldn't go in there. And she's like, well, I think she knew what was happening, but she wanted to see it for herself. Right?
Yeah, 'cause she repeats the question, and then the woman's like, well, that's not for us. And then Danny's like, nah, fuck that. Like, I'm going to see.
So she goes up and she like, I think she knows what's happening, but she like looks in the keyhole and then she is like oh fuck like she like runs there like throws it up and all the girls like come over and they like rush her in the barn and this whole scene is wild because like they're so in sync and like I wonder how many times they have to film this one scene
I
crazy
love this scene for Danny though, because the other time that we see her grieve, right? She like has to grieve on her own because Christian's so like disconnected from their relationship. And then in this scene, like all these women are like hugging her and they're down on their knees with her. And every time she cries out, they cry out at the same time. And it's just like she has this like huge emotional release because she has all these people that are helping her get through this grieving process. But again, like Florence Pugh just fucking nails it, man. She's so good in this scene.
And then we see Jaw, our Christian, freak the fuck out. He runs outside with his fucking bloody dick just hanging out.
So in the trivia, this scene, he was supposed to run away with his robe on, but Jack Rayner suggested that Christian run out completely naked to appear more vulnerable. Because like women in movies, we always see them having to be naked. And he said, like, it's time for the male character to suffer this sort of humiliation.
Damn.
So I thought that was really cool of him
That's crazy.
to do that.
Wow.
Because it's not too often that you see a guy in a movie running around full dong out.
No, not too much, no. So he's running around and he doesn't know where the fuck to go, right? Because he's naked and I love he goes to the barn and then hears all like the fucking craziness going on. He's like, nope, I don't want none of that. He runs to this one building. He sees Josh's foot sticking out of the ground. Fuck. Runs to a chicken coop, goes in there, and we see fucking Simon. What's the name of this fucking? It's on Vikings.
Oh, the Blood Eagle.
The Blood Eagle. And I'm pretty sure Simon is still alive at this point.
He is. His lungs are fucking
Yeah, and
moving.
fucking crazy. You like fucking flowers in his eyes,
He's got
and
the Art the
then
Clown flowers in his eyes.
he
I
does,
was laughing so hard at
yeah.
that part. I was like, oh
I didn't
shit.
think of that. But then someone, I think it's Father Odd, I think, blows like this powder in his face, and he wakes up and he's like, yeah, you can't speak or move. So he's pretty much paralyzed for the rest of the movie. We see now they're at the last kind of thing for the ceremony. Florence or Danny is in the flower dress, which is fucking awesome. So yeah, they had to surrender 9 lives, 4 visitors and 4 of their own. So the 4 visitors obviously the fuck Mark, Josh, Connie and Simon, the 2 of their own that sacrificed, is the 2 old people, and then 2 volunteers, which is Ingmar and Father Odd, I think, right? I think.
Not
Or
sure.
no, maybe the other guy. Anyway. And then Danny has to choose between either Christian or they like spin like a bingo wheel of just a random person. And I don't know. Do you think Danny's decision would have been different? Like, had the relationship been any different?
Yes. I think she made this decision in anger and in her grief as sort of like a fuck you. Like an extreme fuck you.
I think it was hard for her still.
It was for sure. Like you can tell that she's
Because I love like the
struggling.
camera is like you see Christian there in his fucking white robe in the wheelchair. You can't fucking move at all. And you see Danny, the camera's on her and she's like fucking crying and she's trying to think of a decision and then they get the bear suit ready. Fucking sick. I love that they I didn't notice this before. I love that they fucking I'm pretty sure that they take his legs off or they break them because they put him on the table beside the bear and then like they roll his robe up like up to like his like knees
That's
and the guy
true.
like grabs a hammer and I was like I'm pretty sure because his legs would be too short to go in the bear, right? Because bears' legs are very short, right? So I think they either like break his legs or they cut off part of his legs
Yeah, I never thought of
to
that.
fit him in the bear. But
It's fucking wild because, like, they have the bear laid out on its back on this, like, medical table. And one of the elders is teaching the children how to properly gut the bear.
Yeah, he's like, don't hit this too hard. You don't want to bust the intestine or something like that.
Yeah. So they're gutting it out. And then you just see this empty cavity where its like guts were, stomach and everything, but it still has its breastbone, which I thought was really cool, and like all of its ribs. So they would have had to slide Christian up and underneath all of that and then have his head sticking out of the bear's mouth. Really cool.
That's really fucking cool, yeah.
So I was trying to find online what the symbolism of the bear was,
Yeah.
and I found two very different answers. I don't know which one is true.
Okay.
The one that I saw was that in Swedish culture, a bear represents like evil.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that one's true, but then I also read that the bear represents like power and vitality or something like that. And it was like attributed to Odin, who was like a big bear, like a big protector kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like sort of like being reborn
Yeah.
as like a sacrifice, but.
Interesting. Yeah, so Danny chooses Christian. They are going to the Yellow House. I love that they're like bringing all the bodies in, but it's like not the bodies because it's just like their faces or something like that, and their wheelbarrows with all the hay and stuff. They bring in the two people who like sacrificed themselves, and the fucking that the tree branches like in the guy's mouth was like really fucking rad. And I love that like they put the bear suit right in the middle, and like Christian's like, he can't move or do anything, so he's like, I'm chilling, man. But then the two like people who volunteered, they're in there and they're like happy, and then like people come in, they give them like this fluid or something, or like one guy's like something like for you to feel no pain, and it's like yeah okay, and then it's like one's like feel no fear, and then they come in and they set the fire, and then I love that the one guy just like starts fucking screaming right away. It's like oh, you can feel that, like
It's so he can obviously feel pain, and then the other guy that they it was like sap from a yew tree or something like
oh
that.
yeah.
The other guy that they said you won't feel any fear, but he's looking at the other guy just completely like fear stricken, like he looks terrified.
So while this is happening, the camera's outside and you see everyone outside. As soon as they hear the screaming, everyone just goes fucking nuts. They're like kind of in sync with their pain and fear and fucking dancing around and doing crazy stuff. And then like Danny's like there like fucking yakking, and then like, you know, last shot of the movie, Danny's like crying, and then the house is like falling down, and you just see her kind of like turn into like a kind of smile. And yeah, I don't know. So do you think Danny stays there then?
Yeah, I do. I think she doesn't have anything to go back to at this point
No, she
in her
doesn't.
life. She's lost all sense of like personal community with her family, obviously. Christian's gone now too. She doesn't have any friends. She got one friend that we'd never see, but she calls at the very beginning of the movie. But yeah, I think she's finally kind of found her place in the world. So yeah, I think she stays. And I think that's why she smiles at the end, because she's kind of finally found people.
All right. Anything else?
Don't think so.
All right. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
Right. How did you rate this movie?
For quality, give it a I'll give it a 10 out of 10 for quality. Especially this being Ari Aster's first full-length movie.
Second.
And was it?
Hereditary was first.
Was it Hereditary? Oh, Hereditary was 2018. Yeah, my bad. Anyway, still. I thought the editing of this movie, the acting, the cinematography, just everything about this movie was so well done. We've already talked about the attention to detail with everything in this movie. Just 10 out of 10. Story, I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
Especially I think the director's cut, I think it is a bit too long. But like you already mentioned, like the amount of research and stuff that Ari put into this movie, like there is so much to this movie, the rewatchability of this movie, you pick up on every on a new thing every time you watch it. Yeah. So I don't know much else to say. So 10 out of 10 and a 9 out of 10.
For excuse me, my story, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I said I think this is a perfect follow-up to Hereditary. Astor continues on with his familiar themes of death, depression, and paganism. Speaking of which, I wanted to bring up too, Christian's name is Christian, obviously, and he was sacrificed by pagans, which I just, it's, I don't know. Pagans killed the Christians, right? But anyways, but yeah, I think this movie is like the perfect contrast to the dark and eerie predecessor, which is Hereditary. Like Hereditary was super dark throughout the whole movie. Like there was very little light in it. Whereas this one, there's like 10 minutes of darkness at the beginning, and then the rest of it is completely filmed in broad daylight. But yeah, like we've already mentioned, you can really tell that he did his research when creating this film, put a lot of thought and dedication into it. There's so many hidden meanings, Easter eggs, foreshadowing throughout. Like you can watch this movie 10 times over and still find something new. And I loved watching Dani's journey from being alone in her grief to finding community in the Harga people. And she's a character that you can't help but have that like good for her cliche feeling. Yeah, 10 out of 10. And quality, also 10 out of 10. I think this
All right.
movie's fucking damn near perfect. My favorite part of this movie is how it was shot. We've already talked about all that. I loved how bright it was and the various camera angles used to showcase everything in the foreground, but also giving you enough background scenes that you could like almost create a whole movie just with those. Like there's so much shit going on behind the forefront. It's crazy. Soundtrack is top-notch. Really helps keep you engaged in the in this world. I think Florence Pugh and Jack Rayner were both incredible and really broke out as stars thanks to their performances and willingness to perform scenes that are out of their comfort zones. So, yeah, 10 out of 10 for both for me. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus. Do you remember what the score was from our
Well,
first time? Actually, I don't even.
I was gonna ask you if you knew if like the Rotten Tomato score has changed since. I don't know if it does. Can it change?
Yeah, it's got to be able to change, right?
I guess, yeah.
But I think less verified reviewers do
Back then.
reviews on it. No,
Right, yeah.
like as time goes on,
Oh,
like
okay, yeah.
becomes less and less.
Yeah.
But yeah, the critics' consensus: ambitious, impressively crafted, and above all, unsettling. Midsommar further proves writer-director Ari Aster is a horror auteur to be reckoned with. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say 89.
83%.
Oh, too high.
That's on 409 reviews and an average score of 7.6 out of 10. The audience score was a 64%
Damn.
on 10,000 ratings and an average score of 3.4 to 5, or a 6.8 out of 10. I know that this is like a love or hate movie.
Yeah, it is.
Like you're gonna go through Letterboxd here in a minute, but there's one score where I saw it and I was just like, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know he still hasn't changed it.
yeah.
If it's the one that you're thinking of,
Probably.
yeah. So yeah, Midsommar has a 3.8 out of 5. I give it a 4.5. I did take it down half a star from the last time I watched it. I don't know if you changed it, but I'm pretty sure I saw yours earlier today was a 5 out of 5. Yeah. Buddy Alan, 4 out of 5. Jess from HMC, a 3 out of 5. Tawny, 4.5. Chuck, 4 out of 5. Our buddy Josh, we'll skip over him.
That's the one I was talking about.
No, he gave it half a star, which I don't think he's watched it since like his first watch. Jensen 4.5, Screaming Cinema 4, John 5 out of 5, Anthony 4 out of 5.
There we go.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. You ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What did you give this first scare rating?
Scare rating, I'll give it a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Just like some of the gore scenes are pretty fucking wild, and just like the like dread and kind of feeling you get when you're there. Like you don't fully trust the place, and then it's like you're seeing things that like the main characters aren't seeing or like picking up on,
Yeah.
you know? So yeah. Scary scene. I don't know. I'll go with whenever Josh gets killed, when his fucking Mark is hanging over him
Okay.
with the fucking Mark's face over his. It's like that's fucking creepy. And then would I survive? The odds aren't in my favor.
No, they're not.
Like if they had brought more foreigners with them, maybe. Obviously, my odds would get bigger, but like there was only 6 foreigners, right? So,
I don't
so
think you're
probably
going to be
not.
a May Queen.
You never know.
My scare rating, I give it a 4 out of 10.
Nice.
So there's a lot of horror imagery, but it's mostly just like unsettling and not necessarily scary. The gore is great for what we see, though, like the people jumping off the cliff, the blood eagle, like
Yeah.
there's some good gore. Scary scene for me. I said the old people jumping off the cliff. Just it's so brutal, man. And the camera in the director's cut does not shy away from it. Like we see them bouncing off this rock, bouncing off the
Yeah.
ground. Like it's rough.
Yeah.
And would I survive? I said no, I wouldn't. Because I would jump at the chance for a trip to Sweden, especially with like free room and board. Fuck yeah,
Yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Like great. Yeah, I'll be there. So yeah, I'd definitely be ending up as a sacrifice.
Nice.
Right, I'm glad we redid this episode.
Yeah, me too.
I think we did a little bit better justice than our first one,
Yeah,
but
definitely.
yeah. But yeah, so for our second episode of season five, it's going to be my pick. And this is long overdue because we've been talking about doing it for a while. We just never did. We're gonna talk about Maxine.
Oh shit. I should have
Yeah.
fucking guessed that. Jesus
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
Me either.
I don't know why, because I was so excited for it. I wanted to go
Yeah.
see it in theaters, but just obviously life happened and
Yeah.
didn't get to. But yeah, it's on VOD now and it's significantly cheaper than it was a few weeks ago, so
All right, good.
I'm excited to finally get to watch it because I love Pearl and X. I know
Yeah.
you do too. And yeah, I think I'm excited to see how the trilogy kind of plays out.
Nice. I'm excited, man.
Yeah. All right. So come back in 2 weeks. We'll be talking about Maxine. In the meantime, if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also links to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thank you for sticking around for 5 years if you have.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, thanks for coming along for however long you have been.
Yeah.
It's been great, dude. Like, I don't know. We've said this before, but I can't believe that we've been doing it for this long and
I know.
still enjoying it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a ride.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. Talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
Peace.